Let's all stand together. We're going to pray tonight. The word says, David said in Psalms 118:24, "This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." It didn't say, "I think I might." It didn't say, "Let me check with my feelings first." It says, "I will." The "I will" in the English language, even translated there from the Hebrew, it's you're commanding something. It says, "I will." The Bible says when it says it's His will, that means that's his commitment, that's His command to do that. And David's commanding himself. He's command. Isn't it interesting? You can command yourself. Has anyone ever spoken to themselves? No. I want you to raise your hand right now. Okay. All right. We got a weird group. Okay. So. Yeah. You can command. You command. You telling yourself what you're going to do. Now, have you ever told yourself something and you didn't do it? Anyway, Paul says that happened to him all the time. I mean, I wanted to do this, and I didn't wind up doing it. So, you know what? Every single day, I got to pray. I got to take captive every thought. I got to lay out the plan. But when David says, "This is the day, and I will rejoice," that means sometimes you're not going to feel like rejoicing. That's why you have to command yourself to do it. You know that throughout the commands in the Bible, one of the reasons in the natural you're commanded to do something is because you don't want to do it. Interesting. So the things naturally that we don't want to do, for instance, forgive, right? He commands us to forgive. Why? Because naturally we wouldn't do that if he didn't tell us we had to, right? If I didn't have to, hey, you know what? My kids, right? Well, I'll say my kids. Growing up, other people's kids, not mine. I don't want them included. Okay. Brush your teeth. Why? Because I told you so. Why? If they would never be brushed, right? Well, I thought the dentist did that once a year. No, you have to brush your teeth. I command you to go do that. So there's instructions to command. Because in John 6:63, the word says it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh conveys and profits you nothing. What you feel like doing profits you nothing. Right? I'm commanded to do something. He says, "Yeah, but my flesh doesn't feel like it." Well, then your flesh is going to get you in trouble. When you're supposed to do what you have to do, every single day when you go up to go to work, you say, "I don't feel like it." Guess what? Maybe there's someone next to you who says, "I command you to go to work." Right? Or maybe you don't even hear that anymore. You just know it's going to happen. So you're commanded to go to work. I'm commanded. I need to take care of some things because my feelings doesn't profit me. And my feelings actually get me into trouble. The word says also in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and he who says fruitful things will be multiplied by that fruit that he speaks, right? There's a man, my name is Smith Wigglesworth. Anyone know who Smith Wigglesworth is? Smith said in his, I got several of his books, he said, Smith, speaking of himself in the third person, Smith never asks himself how Smith feels. Smith tells himself to get up and get going. He goes, "I never check with my body to see how it's feeling. I command it to get going." You and I live in a natural body, and the Bible says that we are supposed to take dominion over every single thing on this earth. We don't check with, "Well, should I do this today? Should I not?" I know the Bible says it, but do I feel like it? It doesn't matter what you feel like. Do what is right. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and as the Word says, as David says, I declare even tonight and proclaim that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of how we feel, because it doesn't profit us anything. So I pray for a Holy Spirit anointing tonight on your Word, because it does not return void once it is spoken. And even as Acts 2, as Peter spoke, it says he spoke the Word, and thousands came to Christ because of the Word. The Word has to be spoken, and the Word has to be received. Father, in the book of James, it says, let's not just be a hearer of the word, but let's be a doer of the word. As we've even seen over the last even year as we've been studying this, it's been a year and we haven't even repeated anything yet because your word is vast. There's so much in your word that for us to get a hold of and study and take hold of because we are created for such a time as this. So I'm praying right now for anyone who's struggling in any way tonight, Father, that you cast those thoughts way to the side because you did not give us a spirit of fear at all whatsoever. Father, you gave us a spirit of power. You gave us a spirit of love and a sound mind. Father, I pray that we be rooted in that tonight. And I just ask for an anointing, not just on me, but everybody's ears here tonight to hear what the Spirit is saying, because it is almost time to lift up our heads because our redemption, our Redeemer is about to part the clouds. So be with us tonight as we study your word. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As last couple days, I was out of town, and I was at a conference, and I just drove back from almost Wisconsin this morning. Came in about 3 o'clock, and I had already finished up and did whiles away. But I am totally refreshed, I'm revived, and we're going to 10 o'clock tonight. Wow, that was easy. 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Okay. One of the things, last couple of days, I was by myself, and at night when I got back from the conference, it was 10:30, 11 o'clock every night, and sat there and just sitting there studying. I'm a late night person, and one of the passages, turn to Isaiah 10:27. Last couple of weeks, we've had some testimonies of people who have, in my family and friends, have been saved and given their heart to Jesus Christ. I shared with the church not just last Wednesday, but this Sunday as well. And this past Monday night, Women's Bible Study started, following up with the War Room movie that they all saw 2 Fridays ago. Kelly had the honor of also leading someone who attends the church here. His mother came for the first time that night. At the conclusion of the night, Kelly led her to the Lord as well. On Monday night, amen? Amen. And I believe there is a time in the season that God is calling his people to stand up. I do believe a latter rain that the Bible speaks of. And in Isaiah 10:27, they're talking about Israel has been in captivity. And Assyria is their captor. They're holding them captive. But here's a promise. This is the promise of the burden-lifting and yoke-breaking power of God right here. Regardless of what you've done in the past, regardless of, I don't care if you're a believer or not believer, never been saved, or you have been saved, you fell away from the Lord, it doesn't matter. There is a burden-lifting, yoke-breaking power of God that can fall upon you. And Isaiah 10:27 speaks of that. It says, it's going to come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off your shoulders. What Assyria, or what the captor, what the enemy, what Satan has been doing you, is going to be removed, and his yoke off of your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of my anointing is going to be on you. So I'm telling you right now, your past doesn't matter. Why? Because I know the Bible says he lifts those burdens and he rips and takes off the yoke and gets rid of them. Why? So healing can begin and anointing can begin on your life. So before we begin tonight, I'm asking you to stop thinking about your past and who you are to yourself or maybe the other people, but think who you are in Christ, because the word says you're a new creature. It says you're a new person. All old things are passed away. Everything else has been made new. Clean slate. Clean slate. 1 Peter 1:23. Let's all turn to 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter 1:23. Got 2 emails this week as well. One couple in Canada, another couple overseas. It says that they've been doing Bible studies at their church with the Wednesday night messages. And one couple said that they've been saved forever, and which is a long time. It's forever is a long time. And how many were saved right out of the womb? Nobody? I was. And then I walked away. Okay, all right. So, but this is what the word says. Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible. By what? By the word of God. His word, what he is speaking, what he has told you, he says, you are made new. You are a new creature, and he now lives and abides with you forever. When you walk with Christ, he walks with you. When you grab hold of something in his word, don't let it go, because it won't let go of you. You keep going. And finally, before we begin tonight, Romans 10, turn to Romans 10, starting with verse 9. I'm talking about this tonight because I do believe that many are going to come to Christ. I was at the conference I was at. It was a lot of pastors and different people who you'd think have been in the church for a while. There was about 5,000 people there. There was an altar call last night, and about 400 people walked down front. See, we can't, don't prejudge a crowd. Don't think that people don't need Jesus. Don't say, yeah, you know what, everyone's probably saved here, so who cares? No, you know what? It's not his desire, Jesus' desire or will, that anyone should perish. So we need to offer that opportunity for people to receive Christ. Because in Romans 10:9, starting verse 9, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and in your heart believe, adhere, trust, and believe and rely on that truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with a heart a person believes, he adheres, he trusts, and relies on Christ, and so he is justified. He's declared righteous and acceptable to God, and with the mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. The scripture says, no man who believes in him, who adheres, relies, and trusts will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. Verse 12, no one, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all of us, and he generously bestows his riches upon all who come upon him in faith. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? So anyone who calls, don't prejudge anybody, don't look at their past, doesn't matter, it's all gone. All we have to do is Acts 2, is we pray for those scales to be removed. Just as Saul, who turned into Paul, had scales removed because he was in the dark. There's a lot of dark people out there and they need Jesus, right? And the light, you and I are the light, we're not to run from the dark, we're actually to run to the dark. We run to the dark. All right, you guys ready for some current events? Whew. I got so many notes. You guys know who Jerry Reed is? Anybody know who Jerry Reed, the singer? Jerry Reed. Tony Robinson, my sitting theologian and everything about the world he knows. Tony, you're awesome. You just really, Jerry Reed is an old country singer, right? And made famous from Smokey and the Bandit. How many people have seen Smokey and the Bandit? Sinners. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. So cute. I looked at my amount of material that I have to go over tonight, and in the words of Jerry Reed, I have a long way to go and a short time to get there. So, you get it? I got a lot of stuff, and it's not going to be enough time. So we are going to go to 10. All right, so here we are. Current events, September 16th. September 16th. Everyone, who is this? Dick Cheney. He is, what was his recent position in politics? Vice president. For how many years? 8 years. Who is he vice president to? Which one? George W. George W. He was the 46th vice president of the United States. He also served as chief of staff from 1975 to 77. In 78, he was elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, representing Wyoming's at-large congressional district. For 10 years, he was elected 5 times. He was the minority whip in 89. He was selected to be Secretary of Defense during George H.W. Herbert Walker Bush, holding that position for the majority of his term from 1989 to 1993. He also, during his time, he oversaw the 1991 Operation Desert Storm, among several other military actions. I would say he's in the know. Everyone, would you agree with that? He's in the know. Okay, he's in the know. So, someone who's in the know said our U.S. president more than likely is going to be starting a nuclear war, ending a 75-year bipartisan consensus of the United States being a freedom defender. He said the U.S. president, his capitulation or surrendering, resisting the agreement to Iran in recent nuclear negotiations will likely result in the first use of nuclear weapons since Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Among the many dangerous deficiencies in the nuclear deal with Iran is the irreversible damage it will do the international nonproliferation regime contained in the NPT. It's a treaty. Allowing the Iranians to continue to enrich uranium and agreeing to the removal of all restraints on their nuclear program in a very few short years virtually guarantees it will be a nuclear weapons state, thus undermining the fundamental agreement at the heart of the NPT. So there's been an agreement in existence that people who are basically anti-peace can't have a nuclear weapon. So Iran is not for peace. We're all on the same page, right? Okay, so they are against Israel. They are against the United States. So the United States is... Now, why am I saying this? Is this a political thing tonight? No. What I'm saying is when it stops making sense, lift up your head. Your redemption's about to come. I'm telling you this to remind you, not to scare you, to prepare you, that when these things take place, and here is someone who's in the know, it says this doesn't make sense. what we're doing is contrary to what we've been fighting for all these years. So we fought for this. We've had studies, we've planned in congressional hearings and said, man, we've done this with the Middle East and we've done this with Europe and we've planned this, and now all of a sudden it's been reversed just like that. Just like that, it's been reversed. Just like that. You know that in the days of Noah, they weren't expecting it to rain? Just like that, started to rain. Never rained before. He says the Obama agreement will lead to a nuclear-armed Iran. A nuclear arms race in the Middle East is now beginning, and we can see that taking place. Not just, we talked about with Egypt and Jordan. Russia is now helping them build plants. You guys, we did that current event. This is news everywhere. It's on NBC, CBS, MEC, and once again, NBC is not a Christian news organization. CBS is not a Christian organization. Fox is not a Christian news organization. Okay, just want to make sure everybody knows that. Okay, all right. President Obama has abandoned Iraq, leaving a vacuum that is being tragically and ominously filled by our enemies. He is on course to forsake Afghanistan as well. I don't know, but I would first say that he doesn't know the history of Islam, but I think he does. See, what is happening now, people in power are tying this together because this is not about a military thing. This is a religious war. Government leaders, and we're going to, I'm going to get ahead of myself, and I don't want to, but I do, but I don't. Okay. He says, we're living in what we call a hinge point of history. It'll take a president, whoever that next president will be, equal to this moment to lead us through. America needs a president who recognizes that everything the nation must do requires having a U.S. military with capabilities that are second to none, air, sea, and cyberspace. The peace and security of the world rests on the United States. Now, why do I say that? Well, then, yeah, we need to have a huge military, and then we can hold off Jesus coming. Okay, this isn't the point of what we're talking about tonight. The point is, from who you vote for to how you live your life and all those different things like that, he is looking at us to say, are you a well done, thy good and faithful servant? See, what we do has consequences, but in God's plan, as long as we're doing what is right, God's sovereignty kicks in. This goes in from, well, I prayed and I wasn't healed. God's sovereignty. Okay, we don't trump God's sovereignty. All he says is, if you are sick, he says, you pray to be healed and you don't waver and you ask the elders to come forward, you anoint them with oil. It doesn't say, and then within 30 seconds, you shall be healed. No, it says, this is how you do it. This is what you do. And well done, thy good and faithful service, because you did what was right. What happens on the other end is up to God and how he wants to do it. And guess what? There's a bigger picture going on than we can even fathom and imagine. There's a bigger picture. What is that? He's getting ready for his son to return. And the situation has to be perfect according to his plan. It has to be so everyone knows. It has to be so everyone can see the warning signs, because it's not his desire that anyone should perish. We're going to go back to that in a little bit. Here, right here. Now, there happens to be an immigration problem over in Europe. Did you know that? Didn't we talk? I mean, a couple months ago, we talked about that this something like this could take place, and now all of a sudden, just like that, whoosh, they're flooding everywhere. The problem facing Europe is not only the vast number of migrants flooding the continent, it's that from past experience that people do not escape the Middle East. They bring the Middle East with them. Okay, now I want you to, this is regular news. The result is enormous strain on social fabric of host nations. It becomes increasingly difficult to assimilate them with people already there. As governments try to accommodate the overwhelming weight of strangers who do not know their customs and do not speak their language, multiculturalism was a dream. It failed. Now, these European nations are at the mercy of the migrants coming in. Regular news. Well, what else is going on? Let me see. Here's a map. Now, it's going to be difficult, semi-difficult to see, but you can see on the south part is the northern tip of Africa. You'll see Egypt to the far left, and with Libya right next to it. And then as you go, started going to the north, northeast, then you can see Turkey, you see Israel, you see Jordan, you see Iraq, Iran. Then to the north, right across the Mediterranean, all those at the top, that is Europe. All those red arrows show how the migration is working and who they're going to. It's a pretty in-depth thing, and we're going to get into that probably more in 2 or 3 weeks. But it's mind-boggling to see it's flooding. All of a sudden, the regular news has caught on to this, that wait, all of Europe is actually getting flooded by Middle Eastern people. What's going on? Well, it's because of what's going on in the news. You know, I mean, things happen. It's like, yeah, God allows things to happen. What? To wake us up. We need to see what is going on. These things are taking place for us to catch on to. So I just lost my connection to this, but I'm going to see if this works here. Oh, there we go. Okay, now who's this? Who is this? Come on. Okay, who is it though? Okay, you're very close. People are afraid to shout it out because they know that people are from the 80s. This is Def Leppard. And there's no current event significance to this whatsoever. I just wanted to see who was from the 80s and who would know. But here's the significance. You know, I'll tie this in. I got to tie this in because it's okay. Back in 1987 when this album came out, Hysteria, and I'm probably telling you more than you want to know, but for those of you who are with me, we can talk later. All right, so 1987, they came out with this album, Hysteria. There was a song on it called Armageddon It. So as my parents, okay, back then you had cassettes, okay, just so you guys know. There was this thing before CDs, it was called cassettes. And you would take a pencil and you would shove it in there to rewind it. You guys remember that? To get a fine, because if you keep trying to go back and forth, it would stretch the cassette. So you had to take a pencil and you'd... So as my dad was the senior pastor, we were not allowed to listen to anything non-Christian. Couldn't go to the movies or anything like that. So I'm here to tell you today to confess that I did. And I would take labels from the church cassettes and put them over the top of the Def Leppard cassette, and I would write Gaithers. I was with my Walkman one day outside mowing the lawn, and I don't suggest mowing the lawn with your Walkman, but I had the headphones on, and I was singing Armageddon It, and my dad said, hey, what are you listening to? I went, song by the Gaithers called Armageddon It. So it just brought a little joy as I was listening to this today. It made me laugh, so I'm glad you enjoyed it with me, and we'll move on. All right. State Department, Homeland Security. Once again, everyone's catching up now. Everyone's catching up. Revealed that the United States already admits more than 250,000 Muslim migrants each year into the United States. And they intend to, if you saw the recent reports, 10,000 Syrians on top of that. You guys saw this, right? Every minute of every day, 2.1 Muslims legally enter the borders and are given legal immigrant status by the Obama administration. That's 3,024 Muslims every 24 hours enter this country. This is called Islamic Jihad, known Hijara. There's an actual name for this. Interesting enough, they actually have a name. In the Islam religion, they have a name where you legally and illegally migrate into another country for the purpose of taking it over. So, okay, let's just back up. At the end of time, people will call good evil and evil good. All right, so there is a nation that wants to destroy you, and you say, here, have nuclear weapons. A nation says, we want to destroy you. You say, come on in. Once again, I'm not trying to bash anybody. I'm saying this is the end of time, everyone. This has to occur, and this has to wake up everybody. The government is waking up to this. Politicians are everywhere. News media, they're going, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. In 2013, 121,000 migrants from Muslim-majority countries permanently settled in the United States. Permanently settled. Oh, by the way, out of those Syrian refugees, 10,000, did you know that 87% of Syrians are Sunnis. We have 10,000 coming into this country very shortly, not including about 130,000 a year that go on. So now here's this is the eye opener. Okay. And this is Vladimir Putin actually gets it. Here's Vladimir Putin. He says ISIS has designs and wants to take over Mecca, Medina, Jerusalem, Europe, and Russia. This is at his press conference. He said the Islamic State has design on the holy cities. How would he know that? Because he has people on his staff saying, hey, the Quran says they're trying to take over Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem, and they're going to go into and perform and get a hajra into the United States and into Europe. And he just actually went on TV and said this is what they're trying to do. He actually read the footnotes right out of the Quran and says, hey, everybody, this is what ISIS is trying to do. He said the situation is serious, adding that Moscow is very worried that the ISIS terrorists are publicly announcing by their flags and their news reports their designs on Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem. The jihadists are planning to spread their activities all throughout Europe, Russia, Central, Southeastern Asia, and the United States. This is Vladimir Putin saying, uh-oh. He's trying to stop them from coming into his country, and we're bringing them in. Extremists from many countries of the world, including, unfortunately, European countries, Russia, and the Commonwealth of Independent States, undertake ideological and military training from ISIS, said Putin. We are concerned. We are concerned about the screening process. What should we do? Simple common sense says responsibility for global and regional safety require uniting efforts from the international community to stop the threat of radicalized Islam. This is Vladimir Putin, everyone. People are getting it. It's happening everywhere. Now, what the Bible says in Luke 21, it says, hey, don't be afraid, but use this as an opportunity to witness. That's in Luke 21. It says, don't be afraid. See, you hear this stuff, you could freak you out. Couldn't it? You might be too paralyzed to raise your hand and agree with me. Yes. It can freak you out. Go, oh no, there's a promise in God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. He says he's yanking us out of here, everyone. He's yanking us out of here. See, you can't have the promise of getting yanked out of here if you don't have the promise of what's going to happen. He has to tell you, why would I get yanked out of here? Because the stuff is going to take place. So you have to know why you're getting yanked out. So he has to tell you the bad with the good. All right. Lastly, we'll do this one last. That's for a totally different time. All right. Jordan blasts Israel for attack on Temple Mount. Jordan and Egypt condemn Jewish state for provocations and escalation in their defense against Arab rioters on the Temple Mount. You guys seen this in the last week? There's been a lot of rioting go on. So Jordan and Egypt, well, who cares about Jordan and Egypt? Well, because we've actually studied that last week. We touched on it briefly. We're going to go through it again tonight. The Bible says the war of Gog and Magog, which is going to take place right around the time of the rapture of the church, that they're going to come from Jordan. 2 weeks ago, Jordan says the peace treaty that they signed with Israel along with Egypt is no longer valid because Israel is causing too many problems. Now, as what's been going on at the Temple Mount, now Jordan says, hey, this is Israel's fault. Why? They're actually telling them, right, politically, outspokenly, hey, stop what you're doing. We're going to come after you. This is taking place right in front of us, everyone. Remember, don't be scared, right? We're prepared. Amen. Everybody got your notes? Everyone got their notes. And then during this time of trials and trouble, there we go. Okay, that was just a quick one tonight. All right. You want to hear the whole thing, don't you? Actually, I do too. Okay. Everyone, I'll edit this in later because this is not a smooth transition. These clickers don't work good. Here we go. That's what we all feel like when we watch the news. Okay. The time of the end, part 11. Time of the end, part 11. September 16th. Now, The beast. We've been talking about the beast on and off for the last 11 weeks. Now, the beast mentioned in the Bible is, once again, is a one-world government and a one-world religion, right? The beast. The Antichrist is inside of the beast. The false prophet is inside of the beast. The beast represents a false prophet and a one-world ruler. So the beast is those two things. In Islam, as we've studied, a one-world government and religion is called a caliphate. That caliphate is run by a caliph, right? So in the Quran, it says these black flags that are waving everywhere is a signal to all the other Muslims across the world that this is the last or 12th final caliphate, meaning this is where we're going to take over the whole world. So what would clue me in that they're doing this? We just looked at all these current events. In the United States, all throughout Europe, all these things are taking place right now. Well, Pastor, you're scaring me. No, we're getting prepared. We're getting prepared. Get your jumping shoes on because we're going to go up in the sky pretty quick. The Bible says that in the beginning of the last 42 months, this is halfway through the tribulation, 7-year period, 42 months is 3.5 years, that the Antichrist, along with this beast system, meaning one world government religion, would first take out Rome, Italy. What's in Rome, Italy? Vatican. First, it's going to take that out. The Bible calls it a false religion. The Quran, we read in the Quran, it says that is a false religion. It's going to go after that. It's going to knock off. We studied that in the Bible as well. It says it's going to knock out Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, we looked throughout history. That is going to be the area of Iraq, Iran, Syria, portions of Lebanon. It's going to come from the north in that area. And then the Antichrist will come in and destroy the Mystery of Babylon and the controlling government system. He will then lead the 10 nations into Israel. We study those 10 nations. He's going to take the 10 nations and he's actually going to march right in to Jerusalem and take it over. He's going to conquer Jerusalem. So at the beginning of the tribulation, 10 nations in the war of Gog and Magog try to come up against Israel. It doesn't work. It says then for 42 months, these 10 nations do nothing. Then after 42 months of doing nothing after the war of Gog and Magog, it says now they are headed by the Antichrist. They wipe out Rome. They wipe out Mystery Babylon. That was the current government system. And bam, then they come down into Daniel 11:45. It says he, the Antichrist, is going to pitch his palatial tents, his government, between the seas, the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean, and the glorious holy Mount Zion. And the end will not come to him yet. What? It's for 42 months. So 1,200 years later, so this is written about 600 BC. The Quran was written 600 AD, 1,200 years prior to the Quran being written by Muhammad and all these people. The Bible says that there's going to come this end time religion and government that will behead people for not joining them, and they're going to want to take over Jerusalem. Is everyone with me on that? So 1,200 years prior to the Quran even ever being written, Daniel wrote this prophecy. It just so happened 1,200 years later, the Quran said, guess what? You know what we're going to do? We're going to start, at some point, a caliphate against the whole world, not just the Byzantine Empire, right? Not just the Roman Empire, but the whole world. And they actually have words for it, how they're going to do it, which they are doing. They're doing self-fulfilling prophecy. Then in Revelation, so Daniel was Old Testament, Revelation, New Testament. Amplify. But leave out of your measuring the court outside the sanctuary of God. Omit it, for it is given over to the Gentiles, the nations, that they will trample the holy city underfoot for how many months? 42 months. The Bible gives detail about how long that is going to be. It first says there's going to be 42 months of peace after the war of Gog and Magog. And then it says, then someone's going to come over, take over. And Daniel, he says, he's going to take over Jerusalem. And Revelations, which was written 600 years later, which is 600 years before the Quran, said, guess what? This person is going to have Jerusalem under their control for 42 months. So how are they going to control it during those last 42 months? This is where the beast system comes in. Now, for many of you here, like I say, if you've been here, this is a recapping it. But like I said, I like to do that every week because I take different angles on the recap to kind of bring it together. So Revelation 13, this is what happens at 42 months into it to control everyone. Now remember, this is written 2,000 years ago. I'm giving you these dates to show you how God works. His words are true. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 said he told us from the beginning what would happen at the end. So here we are, Revelation 13. He's going to compel all alike, both small, false prophet, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked with an inscription stamped on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that no one will have power to buy or sell unless he bears the stamp. That is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is room for discernment. Here is room for discernment. A call for wisdom. Let anyone who has what? Love this. That makes me laugh every week. Let anyone who has intelligence, insight enough, calculate the number or symbol of the beast. For it's the number, it's the symbol of a certain man. So this symbol represents a one world religion, a one world government, and you can't buy or sell without it. That one world government religion, we know what it's going to be. It's an end time caliphate. The Bible calls it a beast system. Many are going to take the mark of the beast during the 42 months of the tribulation. This is known as the Great Tribulation or Jacob's Trouble. Last fall, we went through specifically what Jacob's trouble was. It's essentially the last 42 months of the tribulation, and the Bible also refers to it as the Great Tribulation. That is when the judgments are poured out on the earth. The seven bowls, seals, and trumpets. And that is kicked off by the four horsemen, which we studied 2 weeks ago. Okay? So Revelation 20, verse 4. I saw thrones, and sitting on them were the whom the judgment, and those in authority, acting like judges, was given. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded. John's looking down, and the tribulation is going on. The great tribulation is going on. They were beheaded because of their testimony of Christ and because of the word of God, and those who had refused to worship the beast or take the mark on their forehead or their hand, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's the millennium reign of Christ. If you do not take the mark during those 42 months, you will be killed. You'll be killed. You will be killed. There's no other religion that does that other than Islam. Well, why do you keep saying that? Because we need to identify, and it says, let he with intelligence understand what's going on. Government officials are getting it now. They're trying to be so protective of, they don't want to offend this and offend this, and that's like, you know what? We have a problem. This is what's going on. Last week, now, we went over what dark media is. Dark media. You know, the media has an agenda. The media doesn't look at the big picture and say, wait, in order for us to speed up the coming of Christ, we need the Antichrist to come. They're not doing that. It says the spirit of the Antichrist is already here. They have agendas, though, based upon their feelings. John 6:63. Agendas based upon feelings. Well, I don't feel this is right. Well, I feel that anyone should be able to marry anyone. Well, I feel anyone should go wherever they go. I feel as if anybody should be able to do anything. See, feelings profit us nothing. It's the spirit that gives life. So dark media is commentating, but they're biased. Okay. Oh, I love biased media. Okay. Media without God. Anyone without Jesus is dark or in the dark. Your media that is reported on, they're reporting on events, now they are giving their feelings or their thoughts on it. It's no longer the news because there's an agenda to it. You guys, this is the end of time. Everyone, there's an expediency that not only God has, but that Satan has. Satan knows the Bible. Satan knows its time. Satan is going to use anything in his power to get us or to get other people sidetracked. They're not seeing things clearly. When you and I, who are followers of Jesus Christ, when we do something that is contrary to the word, our old nature, we go, oh man, forgive us. This is not true with the media. They're not saying, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have said that yesterday. They're going, no man, good job, high five, slap, man, we really got our agenda across tonight. And then they meet with their managers and their vice presidents and their CEOs and then the company that owns their company. I'm telling you, from Disney, who owns everything, ABC, ESPN, and then from other cable companies that own this, you have no idea who owns anything anymore. But you do know there's an agenda not based upon the person reading the news, but based upon someone 25 steps above him telling them this is what you will say. And often they will hire people who have that same agenda. 1 John 1:9, so this is the great thing about us who are in the dark. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once you and I were in the dark, but it says once you and I in the dark, but we don't act like that anymore. Paul says that in Galatians and Ephesians. We don't act like that anymore. But media has an agenda, but it's not always the bigger picture. They don't have an end times agenda or Satan's final agenda. They have their feelings agenda, what they think is fair, what they think is right, not based upon God's word. Last week, we looked at the articles, not just in the New York Post, but several other liberal media outlets, talking and reporting now that weapons of mass destruction are now, I guess they were there all the time. Isn't that interesting? Liberal media news outlets are going, oh, hey, this stuff is here. I mean, here we go. Well, it came out in books. We looked at that last week. Iraqi General George Saada, he already wrote that 9 years ago, that this is how they got rid of. This is what they did. They took refugees, put them on a plane, ripped out their seats, made them sit on nuclear gas, they sat them on everything, chemical weapons, and they sent it over into Syria. Why? Because they wanted to make, there's a bigger picture going on here. There's a bigger picture going on. The Bible says that the enemy, Islam, ISIS, the Antichrist, the people who are against God, would come in through Syria and Iraq. They needed weapons. And also, that big picture was the United States. They had to get anybody out of that office that was for God, from a George Bush to a John Ashcroft. You have to make them look bad. See how the enemy works? So the media comes out to get people who are for Christ out of the way, and then he provides what? See, this is what's going on. See, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities that everyone knows. See, the angels in heaven know this. The demons know this. Satan knows this, and we're going, I wonder what's going on. This is what's going on right here. Every single thing that he said was happening is taking place right now. It's all taking place. And it says, man, if we are just, we could use our intellect and revelations, it's happening. Just open up our eyes and see what's going on. I believe we've gotten to the point where there is an entire army everywhere. I showed you in the current events. They're sending people all throughout everywhere. Everywhere. Radicalized Islam is everywhere. And you're not going to start taking them out without killing innocent people. So governments, I'm telling you, their hands are tied. They don't know what to do. But I do believe that it's God's timing, and this is what he's using to fulfill his word. His prophecies. You and I have to choose what is right in the midst of God's plan. Whether or not you vote for the president that got in, did you vote for the godly one? But every time it seems like I vote for that, he doesn't get in. Doesn't matter. I'm going to stand before God one day. He says, why did you do that? See, the outcome you are not responsible for. You're responsible for what you do. You know what? I show my wife, I love her all the time, and she just doesn't honor me back. Doesn't matter. You love your wife. You know what? I've been tithing, and I still don't have a Ferrari. It doesn't matter. Keep tithing. See, we're responsible to do the obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. That's his sovereignty. That's his sovereignty. So his timing and his promises, they are in order. See, he has an order of how what's supposed to happen. So because his word has to be fulfilled. He's already written it. So everything that is already written has to happen that way in order for him not to be a liar. It says God is not he's not a man that he should lie. Everything that's taking place, so all we have to do is study the word and we can see what's happening. So you have Syrian refugees coming into Germany, and Germany doesn't know what to do. Right? President Obama said in the United States he's going to take in 10,000 Syrian refugees. And this is where I said 87% of Syrians are Islam. We're going to get this influx. How do you get a caliphate started somewhere quickly? Plant everybody. Pastor, you seem kind of harsh in this tonight. No, I'm just trying to wake us all up. You know, not just people in this room, people are listening right now. We need to be shaken and wakened. Because time is coming. Jesus is coming. This is happening. You can watch the news and they don't know what to do. World leaders don't know what to do at all. Well, Pastor Grant, it just seems like the right thing to do to take in these refugees. Are you saying don't take them in? See, there's a bigger picture here. The bigger picture is they're trying to start a caliphate. The media or Satan has been using the media to get us to focus on feelings and being fair and nice from, well, what about illegal immigration? Not just the United States, everywhere now, from Germany, right? All throughout Europe, what are we going to do? From gay marriage. See, the media has got us, Satan is using the media to tie us up on every single thing, but except for what the Word of God says. When Christians are divided on the Word, because why? They're divided because they're getting involved in their feelings and not God's Word. Our feelings profit us nothing. It is the Word that sets us true. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He lights it up. But churches are splitting. Why? Because that's what the enemy wants us focused on. He wants us focused on, well, everyone should be happy. And you know what? What if we don't take these people in? It's like, this is why governments are confused too, because they know that people that they're serving have feelings as well. And this is what the enemy is counting on. He's counting on the church to waffle. He's counting on the church to get caught up in things that have nothing to do with what's going on in here. He wants us sidetracked. He wants us worrying about our finances. Why? Oh, because, man, if we can just get someone in there who could watch my money better. God is your supplier, not the government.
Well, you pastor, you don't understand. Well,
yeah, I do understand. God is my provider.
Well, you don't understand. You know, I was a teacher, and I worked for the railroad, and, you know, I have this this money's and tied up, and if we don't get in the unions, and unions aren't in here. Oh, if you work for a union, it's okay who you vote for. It doesn't matter. It says when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Oh, wow. Whew. Oh, I'm so wound up. I'm going to 11 o'clock. Okay. President Bush came up against evil, and the media is saying it wasn't evil. Christians are saying this is evil, and the media is saying it's not evil. What is happening? They're calling Christians who are right and righteous evil. How do I know it's the end of time? Because they're allowing, they want Christians out who stand for righteousness, and they're asking radicalized Islam to come in. How do I know it's the end of time? Because I just watched the news, and that's what Jesus said in Luke 21:36, Matthew 24:33. Pay attention to what's going on. I command you to know what's going on. See, the media has wanted a different leader and different administration to get the gay marriage approved. Why? Because you know what the enemy wants? He wants an environment of iniquity. See, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Lot, see, there is an agenda going on that if we can get so sidetracked, and wanting to be happy and everyone to be okay. And you know what? People coming to Christ is not because it's happy and it's okay. It's because when Christians stand firm and say, you need a Savior, is the only thing that's going to help you. Not reason things away. Because not just our government, but any government. See, the enemy uses things to take over places, to shift. I don't want to get into taxes tonight and to control anything, but when there's burden, when the burden then is put on the government to take care of people, this is what happens. See, I'm not going to go, I'm trying to rewrite the past. What I'm saying is this is how we got here in order to understand. Listen, God could have stopped anything, but he's allowing things to happen to wake us up. Why? It's the end of time. Well, I just want to go back to where it used to be. It can't. I just want to be heaven here on earth. It can't. I want to be heaven on heaven. So you need to understand, okay, I'm not saying you don't know what is right, but don't be surprised if what you're doing, like I said, it's like, well, then why am I doing it? Because you're going to stand before God one day. But by being dependent on government, government controls education. Okay, so why am I saying that? Well, because if you watch the news, the Islamization of Common Core is going on right now in our schools. So it's the beginning of September, right? Just 3 weeks ago, school started most in the nation. Do you know that you have Kentucky, Tennessee, and four other states right now? They started off the school year teaching about Islam with kids kneeling down and praying. You guys seen this on the news? They're praying to Allah. They're giving them prayers right out of the Quran. They're actually chanting the Hadith right in public schools. Well, I'm just up in arms. Of course you should be. You should fight that. But I'm telling you, it's going to keep happening. Why? Because Jesus is coming. So I'm not telling you this not to fight. I'm telling you this, you're going to fight. And just because it keeps happening doesn't mean you're wrong by fighting. It means Jesus is coming. And you have to understand, by being dependent on government, government controls interest rates and loans and how long you get there. Why? Because they don't want Christians to thrive. Well, that seems kind of... No! If you just watch government, it's anti-Christian and it's pro-Islam. Well, Pastor, you're being strong tonight. Yes, because we don't have much time to tell us each other anymore. By being dependent on government, government controls job creations. Where did you go to school? Did you go through the Common Core curriculum? What do you believe? Have you had homosexual training on sensitivity and all this stuff? It's all control. It's all to get us off of what the Bible is saying, what it's doing. By being dependent on government, government controls the laws and not the people controlling. By being dependent on government, government controls religion and what you can and cannot say. There was a YouTube clip this past week I watched. It was undercover. I left some of those things blank in there in your notes so you can fill those out, what you see is taking place. But as you guys know, that couple in Oregon who wouldn't bake the cake, right? Yep. They had a gentleman go under in disguise, basically, and says that he went into Islamic bakeries in the United States. He said, I'd like for you to bake a cake for me and my boyfriend. We're getting married. And they said, no, we can't do that. Can't do that. He went into 14 different ones, denied 14 different times. How do I know it's the end of time? Because that's okay, but Christians, fine them, throw them in jail. When you can't explain or understand what's going on, Jesus is coming. Because this is going to continue taking place. Why am I saying this? Not to scare you, to prepare you, to stay strong, because the enemy is going to come up against you. He wants you to be quiet. He's going to, you know what, at some point, see, I don't even think it's a gay marriage issue anymore. If you speak out against Islam, the government's going to come up against you. See, with what's taking place with refugees in Syria right now is just like what happened 12 years ago in the Middle East. They're using that to get Islamic people in the radicalized all throughout the whole country. Now I want to talk about something now in the book of Isaiah, chapter 17. Touched on this briefly last week, but I won't go into great detail. Everyone okay tonight? I'm wound up, so if I go a little too fast, play the tape back and slow it down. All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I'm so wound up. Isaiah 17:1. The burden of Damascus, right? Talking about Syria, end of time. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be in a ruinous heap. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, Isaiah 17 is a chapter that contains prophecy about the total destruction of the city of Damascus. Total destruction. And some other Middle East locations. Damascus is considered the oldest continuous city in the world, if not the oldest in general. Okay? So the prophecy is unfulfilled at the time of this writing because it's still in existence. Everyone understand that? It says it's going to be disastrous heat. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Many people believe Isaiah 17 is about to take place, and that is going to be the next prophetic thing to occur. That Damascus will be destroyed. Well, why do you say that? According to the Quran, it says that in order for this last, the Mahdi, their savior, their end time savior to come, who's the precursor to Isa, who is their Jesus, who then comes Muhammad, who then comes Allah. In order to do that, the Quran says you have to take out Syria. This is the Quran. In order to bring your end times and to bring peace on earth, this last time caliphate, it says you have to take out Syria. Isn't it interesting? That is where all the fighting began, is in Syria. And it continues to this day. So right now, Russia is in Damascus. We studied that last week. Russia, right now, Russia has over 100,000 ground troops in Syria. 100,000. 100,000. Many people speculate that Damascus will be nuked by Israel when the events of Isaiah 17 transpire. There's been talk about that. I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu has been saying that for a couple of years since this all started with Assad. He said, hey, man, if they start lobbing bombs in here, we'll take them out. We'll take Damascus out just like that. That should send chills down your spine. That's prophecy going on right now. But given with the ongoing turmoil within Syria and the ongoing tension between Israel and Syria, we need to look at the events of Isaiah 17. Isaiah 17 opens up with the words, the burden of Damascus, which indicates that Damascus is in serious trouble. The trouble of the prophecy is immediately revealed with verse 1, describing the city of Damascus in a ruinous heap. In verse 2, Aroer, a city located in modern-day Jordan, and Ephraim in northern Israel are also described as desolate and forsaken. So there's this prophecy that at the end of time, Damascus would be wiped out, completely wiped out. Along with that, two other cities, one just to the east and one to the east in Jordan, one to the north up where the Golan Heights is, right, where Lebanon is touched, and Syria touch Israel. Now, verse 1, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city and it'll be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They shall be for flocks which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, the remnant of Syria. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. Now some believe Isaiah 17, have heard this before, that this is an 8th century BC when the Syria army attacked Syria. But they didn't destroy Damascus. They didn't wipe it out. It's not desolate. It's still going. It's a continuous city. It is not the ultimate fulfillment of this passage. The Damascus desolation is not specifically stated, meaning where is it going to take place? Is it Lebanon going to come? Is Israel going to do it? It just says that city is going to be wiped out. But also, there's some implications in Jeremiah about this. It says, concerning Damascus, Hamath is confounded and Arpad, for they have heard evil tidings. They are faint-hearted. There is sorrow on the sea. It cannot be quiet. Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore, her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus, and it shall consume the palaces of Ben-Hadad. So as you read certain passages of Scripture in Jeremiah, Isaiah also known as apocalyptic literature about end times, it's talking about something's going to be happening in Damascus. Oh, it just so happened that's what the Quran said as well. Oh, and it just so happens in the Bible, it talks about that not just in Isaiah, not just in Jeremiah, but in Ezekiel as well. Oh, Ezekiel, here we go. Ezekiel 38, 39. Last year we did a study on this, the War of Gog and Magog. In those two chapters in 38 and 39, you're going to see the specificity of those 10 nations listed. But in the prophecy of Ezekiel, the Islamic coalition attacks Israel in two places, the Valley of the Passengers on the east of the sea, which is at the edge of the country of Jordan. It's across from the Jericho on the Dead Sea side. Here in Ezekiel 39, 11, right? It's going to come to pass in that day. What day is that? Right around the time when Jesus parts the clouds, that I will give unto Gog a leader coming down from the north, a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of passengers on the East Sea. So someone, some leader who's coming from the north is going to try to come in through Jordan against Israel. Look at your maps. You see on the west bank right there is a star. That is called the Valley of the Passengers. Oh, wait. It just so happens that it says in the previous passage in Isaiah that they're going to be coming from Jordan. Wait, there's the Bible confirming the Bible. Interesting. There must be something going on here. Wait, Jordan just announced this week that it despises what Israel is doing at the Temple Mount. Oh, 2 weeks ago, it denounced their peace treaty with Israel. Russia is flooding into Damascus. Do you guys see some end times things going on here? Then the Bible says that they come in after the Bashan, which is in the Golan Heights. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the prince of the earth, and the fatlings of Bashan. Bashan, or Golan Heights, you'll see, is to the north. Oh, that's something, a prophecy it says in Isaiah as well, doesn't it? They're going to be coming down from the north. So what this does is it shows me a couple things. The radical organizations have to get strong in these two border areas. They have to take out Syria, which they're doing right now. They have to get stronger. With all the confusion going on in Syria, there are troops building up from Iran right now. This is regular news. But they have to build up in these two locations. Secondly, the head of Iraq does not want to step down. At some point, he's going to have to step down. He is a Shia, and the Shias are strong from Baghdad all the way down to Iran. But in order to fight the radical Al-Qaeda groups, which is ISIS sprung out of, Persia, which is Iran, has to unite with the Shias and fight them. So you see, something has to give in Iraq. All the turmoil that's going on in Iraq right now, something has to give in order for Iran to come in. And why am I saying this is we can watch this taking place in the news. Why am I saying this once again? So when you can talk to people about it, you can witness to them, hey, did you know that the Bible even said this is going to happen? Hey, I got some notes here. Look at this. You can't believe this. I shared with you last week two of the people that just I had the honor of sharing Jesus Christ and they accepted Christ is because of they saw it's going on in the news and they said the Bible must be true. So when you look at Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, which has not happened yet, but this is where Persia or Iran will be leading the way on this. It has to, according to the Bible. Now, here's something that Ezekiel and Gog and Magog, like I said, there's specific notes on it from last fall. So this is just not just even a recap, it's actually a little bit different information on here. Not contrary, but different types filling this in for current events. So falling between Israel's modern rebirth, prophesied in Ezekiel 36 through 37, and then the millennium reign in Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48, it means that chapters 38 and 39 must take place between 1948 and the second coming. It's just a storyline. Ezekiel, here you go. Bam, bam, bam. This happens, this happens, this happens, this happens. So we know that the war of Gog and Magog must take place between that period of time. Does everyone understand that? So you have the millennium reign of Christ, which is at the end of the seven-year tribulation. Bam. Then you have after Israel becomes a nation again, 1948. So many people has led to read this passage, and they think of Armageddon. But Zechariah 14:2 prophesied that every nation will join the battle of Armageddon. Every single nation will be involved in this. Every single nation is not involved in the war of Gog and Magog. There's just 10. So if so, this time frame narrows to somewhere between 1948 and the Great Tribulation, okay? When no peace. This is the interesting part. When I say, well, why do you say the Great Tribulation? That gives me a 3.5-year window. We're going to look at this some more in a couple weeks. Because the war of Gog and Magog, according to the Bible, could take place right after or right before. So we know it's before the 3.5 years into the tribulation, but I can't tell you if it's a week or 2 or 3 weeks after the rapture of the church takes place. But it's right around that time. The reason that is important to know is when you see those 10 nations coming up against Israel, know that that is the time of the war of Gog and Magog. Everyone understand that? So it could be 3 weeks later, it could be 4 weeks. Once again, we just see Bible prophecy being fulfilled and it quickens our spirit and we get ready. So the Bible says that the two witnesses, we went over that, the two witnesses, which we study in Revelations, will prophesy in Israel the first 42 months, the first 42 months of the seven-year tribulation. We study the last 10 weeks that the 10 nations spoken of in Ezekiel will come up against Israel, and those 10 kings are defeated at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. 10 nations are coming up from Egypt to Jordan, all the way around, I mean, from Ethiopia all the way to the north, Iraq, Iran, and they're all coming up against there. Then there's a time of peace in the Middle East, and sacrifices begin again at the temple. See, sacrifices can't begin right now. I mean, you even saw it. It says, hey, they can't even do anything. They can't even pray there anymore. Do you guys know that? They can't even pray. It says if you pray there at the holy place, it'll start a war. So they can't even pray. There's no sacrifices going on right now. But prophetically, it says at some point sacrifices are going to start again. When are they going to start again? When 10 nations come up against Israel and they can't touch them. Now they're afraid. They get out of the temple. Oh, this goes back to 2 weeks ago. It says when Jerusalem will be divided again. Okay, I just got excited. Okay, so here they are. They're surrounded. 10 nations, they're coming up against it. Everything's laying low. They can't do anything. But after 3.5 year period of peace or 42 months, the 10 nations align again with the Antichrist. The Antichrist says, let's go get them now. Why? Because the time is right. Why? Because God's going to let them. God is going to let this happen. Ezekiel prophesied that the Lord would use this battle to turn Israel back to him and to complete the return of the Jews from all over the world to Israel. Okay? So the war of Gog and Magog, he's going to use this to bring everyone back. Why? This is the place we needed to go because God's hand is on it. No one can touch us here. Is everyone with me on this? At the beginning, the rapture takes place, or right around the time of the rapture, this war takes place, war of Gog and Magog. They try to attack Israel. Israel lifts no finger. And as you read Ezekiel, it says the terror is upon them and they leave Israel alone. They say God is with them. Israel, through the whole world now, is known as God's hands on them. As a result of that, all the Jewish people from the whole world go back to Israel. They just saw the rapture take place. They just saw 10 nations come up against them. Because the two witnesses have to witness to all the Jewish people. You can't do that if they're over in New York. So they see God's hand on Israel and says, this is the place to, this, oh my goodness, we missed it. We got to go back to the blessed land. Everyone understand this now? This is how Bible prophecy is taking place. So they're all migrating back to, everyone's going back to Israel. Everyone, all the Jewish people are going back. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the event that restarts the clock on the 490-year period of the time spoken in Daniel. This is the famous 70 weeks of Daniel we talked about in Daniel chapter 9. That's what starts it. Right there, it starts a seven-year period. 69 of those weeks or years of seven was 483 years that had come when the Messiah was crucified on the temple, destroying stopping clock one, week seven, short full fulfillment. It was 7 years short of fulfillment. Well, when does that clock begin again? War of Gog and Magog. War of Gog and Magog happens, bam, there's the seven-year clock. So that seven-year clock, how do I know that? Because the Bible says once that happens, there's a witness in Revelation for two witnesses go out for 42 months. 42 months. As soon as that takes place. So when we see those 10 nations specifically listed in Ezekiel 38 and 39, when we see them coming up against Israel and wanting to attack them, which all 10 want to attack them right now, they're breaking peace treaties with them. They have nothing to do with Israel anymore. They have nothing to do with them. As soon as you see that taking place, it says right around that time, the rapture could happen any moment. It's God's wake-up call to us. Just look at the little, he even listed the nations for us. Revelations 11:2. Remember, it's the temple that becomes desecrated by the Antichrist. Those first 42 months, they're making the Jewish people are living in peace, right? It says they're making sacrifice. They got the whole temple back. They're making sacrifices. Everything is going good for 42 months. But then it says, Revelation 11:2, but then leave out your measure in the court outside the sanctuary of God. Omit that. For it is given now over to the Gentiles, or the sinners, and they will be trampled the holy city for 42 months. Time of peace, everything's floating, everything's going so good. Now you're saying, okay, now where's all this? Like I said, these are over, for many of you who've been here, we've done this, all these specific studies we've done from sometimes they're 3 or 4 weeks at a time. So what I'm doing is I'm pulling in a 3-week series that we did here. I'm pulling in a 4-week series over here. So just where can I get this information? You can see me. There's handouts that has over like 40 lessons on them. You can pick War of Gog and Magog, Daniel, you know, the 70 weeks of Daniel. So what I'm doing though is now is I'm pulling all this stuff together so you can see the timeline. But shortly, we're going to begin a careful study of the nations that are spoken specifically in Ezekiel 38, 39, along with the book of Daniel. We're going to look at specifically where these countries stand on Israel, Islam, governmentally, and militarily, in order to prepare us for what's going to be happening very soon. Now, I'm going to give you 3 scenarios. These are not predictions. They're scenarios that could be happening, just things to watch out for, because biblically, certain things have to take place, but how they happen, right? We don't know how they're going to happen. We just know they will. So ultimately, someone's coming down from the north. Mystery of Babylon, all these things. Scenario 1. In Iraq, if the current president, Fuad Meza, makes an agreement with the Kurds, remember, are to the north in Iraq, and the Sunnis to put them all in government. She is right now, and if he puts the Sunnis and the Kurds, right, so he tries to mix all 3 together to bring harmony inside Iraq, they'll become a very powerful force. I don't see that happening, but that's what some people are trying to push from the outside. Get all 3, the Sunnis, the Shias, and the Kurds, put them all in government together so they can live happily ever after. Okay, right. Oh, that's been tried before. All right. Scenario 2, if the United States and our allies get together and realize how dangerous ISIS is and come on the attack, we would have to defeat the Sunni insurgency, which gives more power to the Shiites and to Iran. The Sunnis are predominantly Saudi Arabia. So they're coming in into Iraq, right? The Shias are fighting them, coming from the north. So there, I put a picture of James L. Terry, Lieutenant General in the United States. He's currently the commanding officer in that area. I put him down here because, you know what? The Bible says that we need to pray for those people in authority over us. So we need to pray for the men and women who are fighting for our freedoms right now. He needs godly wisdom. You know that God says he can raise up, he can depose people, he can also change the minds of people, he can do whatever he wants to do. He needs godly, he needs wisdom that can only come from above, and we need to pray for those people in authority over. So I just put his picture and his name on there to pray for him. Scenario 3, the Iranians and the Sunnis will have enough military power to push out the insurgents, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and then Iraq becomes predominantly a Shiite stronghold. So you will have Iraq going back to its original, the Shias. Then you have Iran, which is predominantly Shias. Then you have the Sunnis in Saudi Arabia who are trying to infuse both. So there's different scenarios, but ultimately what's going to happen is Iran has to come to great power. Ezekiel 38:9, just so you know, Lebanon is not mentioned, neither is Syria, right? Syria gets wiped out. Damascus, right? And several other cities, done. Lebanon's not even mentioned. So something tells me that some organization is going to come in and take power over them. Everyone with me on that? It's not mentioned. They get swallowed up inside these other countries. And we'll watch that unfold. Iran will be heading up this war against Israel, and it will be Shiite Muslims. This is when you see the black flags. They believe they're self-fulfilling prophecy with Islam. So every time you see those black flags, this means the last caliphate. Every time they take a city, they put the flag in. When you see them riding in or out of a city on the trucks, the black flags are there. That means, for everyone, that means last caliphate. To them, it's called a caliphate. The Bible calls it the beast system. Same thing. Same thing, because it means one world government, one world religion. Now, the Shias have the black turbans, and the Sunnis have black banners. Remember, they're going to join together. What a coincidence that they both have the black on. But the black flag will be flying all over the world. It is flying in Germany right now as they were coming off the trains. Did you guys see this? As they're coming off the trains, they were stopping them because they were walking out with black flags already. Rocking off the train, getting ready to put the black flag down. It is all flying all throughout Europe as well, and many more refugees and wars continue to grow in number. You will see the black flags grow in number all across the world. What's that telling you? It's an end-time caliphate. It's a beast system. The black flag represents, remember, the caliphate, a one-world Islamic government and religion. Islam has prophecies that must be fulfilled or self-fulfilled in order to make their last days happen, or as the Bible calls it, the end of days or the end of time. We want that. Jesus said it. Daniel said it. It says there's going to be a specific time called the end of days. This is where we are living. This is the end of days. So we need to keep our eyes on Syria and Lebanon, because Iraq in they have going to be a prominent by swallowing up those areas with Syria and Lebanon. So we're going to watch that. I'm just telling you, this is happening right in front of us. The borders are coming down between Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq. All those three is just. But also watch Jordan, which we mentioned tonight, not just in the Jeremiah but Isaiah as well. But there are miles and miles of border on the Jordan with Israel. Last week, we looked at Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Remember, they are currently putting razor fence all along Jordan. All along Jordan. So the prime minister of Israel says that Jordan is a huge threat right now. If you paid attention to all the last 2 weeks, you should go ding, 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 ding. Government official says Jordan's a problem. The Bible says Jordan's going to be a problem. When? Right around the time of the War of Gog and Magog. Jordan's going to have an issue. Up until now, they didn't worry about Jordan. Israel did not worry about Jordan because they had a peace treaty signed along with Egypt. When President Mubarak was with Egypt, as we were giving them $900 million a year not to put a fence up. But I believe what we're seeing is going to happen as the Bible said it would. Sometimes it might get there a little bit differently than what we think, but it will happen. Whether or not it happens right away, this is where I'm saying sometimes you look at Bible prophecy, some things kind of move forward, and then they kind of stop a little bit. Okay, so could it happen tomorrow? Sure. Could it slow down a little bit and be 2 years from now? Sure. But why would he do that? Because it's his desire that not one single person should perish. Well, what's he doing it? He's saying, if you know the Bible, go tell everybody because the time is at hand. He's showing us how it's going to happen. This is when you watch the news, it says this is how it's going to happen. The borders must come down from Iraq, Iran, and Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. There will no longer going to be resistance against each other. They're actually going to be joining each other. How do I know that? The Bible says it. Well, why would they do that? Because the Quran said that's what you must do. So both entities, both things, the Quran and the Bible says this is what's going to happen. The Quran says this is what you have to do, and the Bible says, I told you they were going to do this all along. This is the coolest thing. The Bible is written before the Quran, everyone. Well, okay, so why would he start in, why would we circle this whole thing? Why would these 10 nations, 7 of the 10 in the Arab Spring who are against Israel, I mean for Israel, now be against it? Why would it take 3 more years? Right? Man, if they formed, why wouldn't they just attack right away? Same thing. We see things unfolding, just like we're seeing the mark, 666, right? For many years, everyone thought we're just going to write 666 on your forehead, and that meant you were with the Antichrist. I'll just scribble 666 on my forehead, get a loaf of bread, and then erase it. That's not how it works. You're going to get a chip. The Bible says, well, first I'm going to tell you what the guys who made the chip said. If someone tries to cut a chip out, it's going to leave a grievous sore on their skin and burn it like acid. Well, according to the Bible, it says those who try to remove the mark will have a grievous sore on their hand or their forehead. If you take the mark during the tribulation, there is no possible way you can get into heaven. For anyone listening to this, 3 years into the tribulation, do not take the mark. Because John says in chapter 20 of Revelation, I saw people still coming into heaven who wouldn't take the mark. There is still a chance, but the Bible also says in 3 different places in Revelation, it says God will cause those who have already heard the gospel message, their heart to go callous and to grow cold. You already had an opportunity. It's going to be that much harder now to accept him and die by being beheaded. But the world is telling you this is about the timetable of when we're going to implement this mark. And the Bible says that the Antichrist will take over an entire area and remove the borders, including from Afghanistan to Pakistan, allowing millions of radicals to march against Israel. They're all going to be coming from the north, northeast, the Bible said, and they're all, millions are going to be marching up against Israel. Well, the Quran says, if you guys remember 5 weeks ago, Old Khorasan, it says when you see the power from Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran start coming up against Israel, that's the end. That is the end. But I do believe from what we see with biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons, along with EMPs being stolen, being traded, what's going on, things are heating up, and I believe there's going to be an increase, not just in natural disasters, but I believe there's going to be an increase in terrorist attacks. Well, why would you say that? Because the Bible says it. The Bible said it's going to happen. Well, why would they do that? Because for those who haven't woken up yet, need to be woken up. I was with some people the other day, and it's fine. My daughter and some of her girlfriends, and they were talking about, well, we just wanted to be married and have some kids first. You know, and those are very natural feelings. Right? I wish I wanted to see my grandkids grow up, man. I would rather see my grandkids grow up in heaven. Amen. Well, will we get married in heaven? It says we'll know each other, but we don't need that. See, our eyes and our ears and our minds can't even fathom what it's going to be like up there. So it's not that I don't understand the longing in the natural. But John 6:63 says those natural feelings don't profit us anything. See, what it does is we want to prolong things. And the Bible says, man, you're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to have glorified body. Anything's going to be so much different than it's ever been. But as a result of decisions that the United States have made, being very passive. And once again, it's not so much blaming. It's identifying what has taken place to understand the bigger picture. The current administration has taken a stance that's anti-Israel and pro-Islam. Well, that makes me angry. But you know what? It had to happen. It has to happen. from laws and appointments that are contrary for our protection, total disregard for laws of the land, we are going to be naturally in trouble. This is the part where you're understanding when you walk by faith and know that God is for you and he's not against you, that the day that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not going to fear anything. I see what's going on. I don't fear it. Why? Because I already know what's going to happen. Why? I've been studying God's word. Yeah, but what happens if I die between now and then? To be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. How can you be so cavalier? Because that is your only option. I ain't going to hell, so to be absent is why I'm going to heaven. So if someone kills me, I'm going to heaven. Man, can you imagine that? It's like for one, in one moment, it could change just like that. Once again, I'm not here to scare you tonight. I'm here to prepare you. And this is where we're going to end. We're going to end up. Revelations 1:1. Everyone ready? Revelations 1:1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Daniel, he said, close the books up. And Revelation, the last book, pop that thing open. Here's the revelation of Christ. God gave it to him to disclose and make known to his bondservants. Who are his bondservants? You and I. Certain things. What are things? Promises in God's word, which must shortly and speedily come to pass in their entirety. So there are things that he told us that were going to take place that have to come to pass. Everyone, it has to happen. I'm sorry, but it has to happen. Well, I just want to finish school first. I would rather be in heaven than finish school. And I've already finished school. And I would still rather be in heaven than finish school. Yeah, but I'm almost done paying my mortgage. Skip your last payment. You're going to heaven. I mean, come on. Unless you got an auto pay, I mean, that's fine. But see how naturally we can start thinking, yeah, but I really wanted to. It doesn't matter. But the Lions look really good this year. Who cares? Man. You see, our natural self just goes, yeah, but don't be like Lot's wife. Don't be like Lot's wife. Oh, but as soon as you start thinking that this world has much more to offer than heaven, you got a problem. Verse 2, he's testified and he vouched all that he saw in the word of God and the testimony of Christ. So blessed and happy is the man who reads out loud. That's me. The word of this prophecy, and blessed and to be envied are those who hear it. That is you. But we have to keep ourselves true to the things that are written in God's word. For the time is near. You have to keep, well, I already gave my heart to Christ, but you have to keep your heart true to the things that are written. But I already gave my heart to Christ, and now I live however I want. No, you have to keep your heart true. Many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. He said, get away from me. I never knew you. Yeah, but I gave my heart to God. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, yeah. But Paul said, I knew you were once like this, but now you're a new creature in Christ. So put away malice, vainglory. Put away blasphemous talk. Put that away. What? To show that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Can't have a softball message. Things are too close to the end, man. I ain't doing a little softball. It's going to be okay. Jesus loves you just the way I am. No, if you're saved, change. By the renewing of your mind, Isaiah 56:10. I have a difficulty with several things, but God's working with me. But this is one thing in particular. Pastors or people who don't want to address or talk about the end times. Oh, it's too scary. Or I don't believe that really. Oh, come on. We're really going to float up in the sky? And like 1 Thessalonians? Really? Hold on. Where do you believe you go when you die? Well, I'm going to heaven. And where are you going to go then? Well, I'm going to float on a cloud and I'm going to have wings. Really? So you believe that, but you don't believe that someday the clouds are going to part and Jesus is going to snack. Wait, you don't believe that, but you believe all the other stuff? I believe the whole word is true. But the word says, my watchmen, my pastors are blind. They're all without knowledge. They're dumb dogs who don't bark, dreaming, lying down, loving slumber. That sounds harsh, I know, but I'm telling you, there's too many churches who don't talk about this. They don't want to make, that means judgment's coming. Yes, as in the days of Noah and Lot, judgment is coming. Judgment's coming. Hosea 4:6. This is what's not going to happen here, though. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You will have knowledge on every single thing that's going on. Remember the former things. word. That's the word, God's word, which I did. I am God. There's no one else. I am God. There's none like me. I've already declared the end of time, and the result of that time from the beginning or the ancient times, and things that were not yet done yet, saying my counsel still stand. He's already told us in the word. It says, man, we just have to study it. But I'm fearful when I study it. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. When you start wanting to see everything in this world, I want this. Fear will start coming into your heart because you're afraid of losing everything. No, you're about to gain heaven. You're about to gain eternity. Stop fearing what you might lose if someone, some radical thing comes in there and they take this, or you lose your job because you said something contrary to work and you're lining up with the word. Oh my goodness, I lost my job. No, he said, stop fearing. That's not from me. Yeah, but I shouldn't have said anything. Sure you should have. People are dying, going to hell. All you have to do is share the words. Just spread the seed. Well, they didn't accept Christ. It doesn't matter. I'm going to stand before God today. Did you open your mouth? Did you declare this was the year of the Lord? Whew. All right, let's stand. We're going to rent. I'm going to read this last passage while we're standing. If you have children that you need to go get right now, I understand. It's fine. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I don't want you ignorant about those who fall asleep in death, who may not grieve, as the rest who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even God will also bring with him Jesus to those who fall asleep. For this we declare to you by the Lord's own word, that we who are alive and remain, that's you and I, until the coming of the Lord, shall no way precede those who have an advantage of those who previously died while they were serving Christ. For the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a loud cry of summons, with the shout of an archangel and the blast of a trumpet. And those who have departed this life in Christ are going to pop out of the ground first. Then we, the living ones, who remain on earth, shall simultaneously be caught up along, harpozo. That means caught out of harm's way. Out of what harm? Of the tribulation. We're going to pop out in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so always we shall be with the Lord. Therefore, we're going to comfort and encourage one another with these words. Amen. Okay, we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask for those, once again, I'm going to ask the salvation call for those at home. And I said, for you and here at the church, in the sanctuary right now, if you have already given your heart to the Lord, you do not say this prayer. For those who are saying it for the first time, man, confess it with your lips. Confess it with your lips right in front of everybody. For those of you at home, in the car, watching online, confess it with your lips. Why? You know that Jesus died. And he hung on a cross right before all the people. He was not embarrassed. He was not ashamed. Jesus died for us. All he's asking you is to confess with your lips before men that you'll die for him. So Heavenly Father, you come to me right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your word tonight. I'm so pumped up right now because I know your time is at hand. Whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 2 years from now. The word says, I'm not even promised tomorrow. Stop thinking I'm going to do this tomorrow, because I'm not even promised that. I'm not promised to graduate from college. I'm not promised from high school. I'm not promised I'm going to see kids or have grandkids. I'm not even promised that. But how much more so would it be better just to be with the Lord, to run around for those who've already gone in Christ and died before us? We're going to be running around and I'm going to see Paul. I'm going to see Timothy. I'm going to see all these people and say, man, thank you for being obedient unto the Holy Spirit and writing all this down because of what you've done. Many have come to Christ at this time of the end. So, Father, I thank you for that word. But for those who do not know you, for those who have never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of their life, who've never asked for their sins to be removed and forever forgotten, for those who've never asked to say, be Lord of my life and I need a Savior, Father, I'm asking that right now because the Holy Spirit's working on them right now, whether or not they fully understood every single thing tonight, but they do understand that there's a heaven and there's a hell. For those who are following you, who are actively pursuing you, not just give their heart to you, but who are continually going after you, it says they will be in heaven when the rapture of the church takes place or when they die. So I'm just asking you if you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior tonight to repeat after me, whether you're at home or in the sanctuary tonight, watching online, it doesn't matter. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Take all my sins away. Remember them no more. Be Lord of my life. I want to serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head still bowed, for those of you who said that, no matter where you are, you need to get into a Bible-believing church. You need to get into the Word. You need to surround yourself with people who know the Word and are going to lift you up. You need to be discipled now to continue walking in the knowledge of who He is, so you're not scared, but you're prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. It is a lamp unto her feet and a light unto her path. And for those who are, once again, they're fearful of what's going on, Father, there is no fear with You. And as we close tonight, in Numbers, the priestly saying that Moses told Aaron to speak over Israel, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And He shall put your name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So be with us then as we go. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, everyone. Have a great week. Hopefully, I will not see you Sunday because we're going to be in heaven. But if we do, I'll see you here, there, in the air. Have a great rest of your week, everyone.